welcome to another episode of Meet Me in the Middle. It's been, you know, a whole day. It's crazy. I am Xander Fraley. I am a regular guy.
I am subtly prognosticating an inadvertently expert Hunter York.
Really struggled with that first one, didn't you?
Yeah, the pronunciation wasn't good. It's, you know, it's like when a movie starts slow, you're like, oh, okay. It could get better from here. And then when it doesn't, you're like, oh, yeah, that was expected.
It started slow and just like you just continued to be slow throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, when the actor's really struggling from scene one and you're like,
he just doesn't feel it. He doesn't understand his character.
When he doesn't understand anything. And that, I want to say that's me, but, you know, I'm an expert.
He's inadvertently. Right, inadvertent expert, yeah. But you're also very good at prognosticating, so you must know something.
I know that I am not good at speaking.
Yeah, I think most people on here would agree.
In here, yeah, you mean me and you.
No, I mean the listeners. You haven't gotten any yet, but I'm sure those negative comments are coming. We have asked for them.
Oh, I've gotten negative comments. I just hope they're not from
I mean, not from the listeners. Comments.
Oh, I'm just talking about regular people. No one's commenting. Like the last few weeks, yeah, regular people.
No one
cares
what we're doing right now. So let's just
they
hop
do
into
care.
Sports. No, you I mean, care. I mean, the banter is tiresome.
It is tiresome, but that's what makes it so great is that I'm terrible at it and you're all right at it.
Oh, stop.
Oh, you okay, oh. You're terrible at it too. Sorry.
No, not at all. All right, that was, whew, that was a thing. Anyways, NBA draft happened last night. We kind of got you guys up to speed a little bit with what has happened. There was a trade involving the Pacers, the Hawks, and the Jazz for a trade pick, the number 12 trade pick. Nope, the number 12 pick that was traded. And there was the Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose.
Almost called
his
Derrick
name
Smith.
Is a flower.
Yes, I almost called him Derrick Smith for some reason. The draft started off exactly how we thought. Yeah, Derrick Smith. I don't know who he is. Derrick Smith, shout out.
Top prospect,
Derrick Smith. Start off just as we expected. Just as we expected. Ben Simmons, number one, to the 76ers.
Obviously.
And then Brandon Ingram to the Lakers. Then things kind of just went haywire from there. The Celtics, who people assumed would probably take Chris Dunn, the next best available prospect.
They were either going to take Dunn or shop or trade the pick. They were shopping to trade it.
Yeah,
and no one
hard.
Would bite.
They were trying to trade that pick. Well, they were trying to trade that pick hard, except for to the 76ers, who really wanted the pick. They were going to trade
Nerlens Noel or Jahlil Okafor.
And
yeah.
Hopefully, they were hoping, what I heard, Jahlil Okafor rather than Nerlens Noel. The Celtics said no and took Jaylen Brown, who caught everybody off guard.
Well, by no means is he a bad player because
right.
he just got drafted into the NBA.
Mm-hmm. He was going to be in the first round anyway.
Yeah, but the position he was picked in, you thought Chris Dunn would fit in well in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they went with Brown. Apparently Danny Ainge had his eye on Jaylen Brown for a while now. So, you know, behind the scenes, things that we don't see. Kind of played a factor, and apparently it was kind of a match made in heaven in his mind.
Right.
Now, we'll see how it translates, because he is athletic and a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of Celtics fans wanted Dunn. But in the same way, Knicks fans didn't want Porzingis. However, it's different, and I will clarify, because I also believe it's vastly different in a lot of ways as
right.
well, is that Porzingis was a complete unknown, because he was from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Brown is that there's lots of tape for you to watch because he played at Cal in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
So while the people on the East Coast, especially Boston, are not going to stay up till, you know, 12 p.m. to watch a tip-off of a Cal versus Utah game.
They do start late.
Yes. So they're probably not going to see Jaylen Brown, so they're going to get to see Chris Dunn a lot more. So, of course, they're going to want Dunn because they're used to seeing him.
He's a local kid.
Yeah, he's on their prime time.
Yeah.
And Providence is going to be more likely to be on local networks as well, even if they're not on a big, you know, ESPN or ABC, stuff like that. So we'll see how that pick works out. I think it's a weird one.
It's a weird one, but I mean, they just as you said, they just went with their favorite player. Because yeah. I mean,
that's all you can do.
They made the playoffs. They had 45-ish wins last year, so they just picked. They didn't have any immediate needs, so they just picked their favorite player, their favorite prospect, and that just happened to be Jaylen Brown.
Well, I mean, that's really all you can do after the clear top two guys go.
Right. This was by most estimations, a weak draft just from the beginning.
Yeah.
Lots of good players.
Just but
not. There were two top echelon picks, and then there were just more guys.
Well, as Jay Billis said last night, there was the top two guys who have potentials to be stars right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of have these guys who are going to be starters. Mm-hmm. And then you had guys who have potential to be starters.
Right.
And then you kind of had role players and bench players and guys who would never make it right behind them. And now you can't tell from the draft because, I mean, Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics was taken dead last in the draft. And he's an all-star.
One of the exciting things about the NBA draft is that you can be taken dead last. Yeah. And still become a very good player.
Yes.
When was the last time? I told you this last night as we were watching the draft. I'm like, when was the last time you thought of
Mr. Irrelevant,
the last pick in the NFL draft, A, making a squad, and B, making a name for himself after making the squad? I don't know the last Mr. Irrelevant to make a squad.
Yeah.
I would have to look that up. It'd probably be pretty easy.
Yeah.
But I haven't done that. So that's just bad on my part, but it's...
I mean, it's not something that really matters because it's...
There's
you know, 52, when people say,
there's 52 guys on the NFL roster.
Yeah.
There's lots of people you never see
that are on teams. There's so many picks in the NFL draft. Like, a couple hundred.
Now, we're not talking MLB draft type picks. Oh, but
I mean, there is NFL. 252, if I'm correct, give or take, in the NFL draft. So, it's very interesting to see. I believe it's 252. So, it's interesting to see... You know, the guys who get picked in the sixth round, yeah, they'll probably end up on the practice squad and make decent money.
Yeah, still make a couple hundred thousand a year.
Yeah.
That's on beans.
No, that's great money. But the thing is with, you know, the NBA, it's like there's 15 guys on an active roster.
Mm-hmm. Just 15.
Yeah. So go from, you know, there's 60 players taken. But the thing that's different, especially now, and we'll get into more picks in a minute.
Yeah.
And you'll really see what we're talking about is... The trend of draft and stash that has become such a big thing. And as you talked to earlier, the Spurs are about to sign their 2013
first round draft pick from France.
Yeah, who, and what we mean by draft and stash is it's when they pick a young player from overseas and they pick him and basically say, stay over there for now until we have a spot. And he may play summer ball with them. He may play, you know, he may be on the training camp, but he'll go back overseas.
Here he is. The Spurs are about to sign their 2013 first-round draft pick, Livio Jean-Charles.
Yeah.
Jean Charles, as Americans would say. He's in the French League right now, and I don't... I'm not exactly sure what they do over there. They just have everybody play a ton of minutes, but he's only averaging 5.9 points and 4.6 rebounds and a block per game in the French League. I'm not sure how they run things over there, but...
Well, I mean, that's what we talked about during the draft is, I mean, there were...
It goes exactly to your point that you made in the last episode that you'll see this guy who's averaging 20 points a night in
college
the NCAA.
Ball. Yeah.
In college ball, as in Georgie Niang.
Yeah, George picked Niang, by the Pacers.
Who's picked by the Pacers.
And a consensus All-American. A great year.
Yeah. He averaged 20 a night
for
Iowa State.
Yeah, yes, Iowa State. But then you have the same argument with a guy like Stephon Moody at Ole Miss, who averaged like 23 a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's short, but his athleticism is out of the gym. And Yogi Ferrell is one of the best point guards I've seen. He was kind of on and off in college.
He's
a pure point guard.
Pure point who contributes on defense.
Yes. And so I know he'll be signed.
Great
by somebody,
on the ball defender.
But why was he picked compared to a kid? Like last night, I was telling you, there was a guard from overseas who was only about 6'4, still taller than Yogi and Stephon.
Mm-hmm.
But he was picked in the early second, and he averaged like 8 points a game with 3 assists and 4 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that in high school or college, you don't even get looked at for the next level.
Right.
And even though that guy's probably 19 or 20, so is the other kid in college who played probably higher competition.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting to see that the trend of the draft and stash moves, because essentially, I think that'd be a fantastic look if it was research done on that to see how many players in each game overseas have draft rights to somebody.
Right.
Like, yeah. Because over the past few years, we've seen a ton of draft and stash. Like, that Jean-Charles, or, you know, as we would say in America, has been overseas for 3 years since being drafted.
Yeah.
So, how many more guys are like that? And you don't even know if we'll ever see some of these guys
come
over.
Right.
They could stay there their whole career. I remember Ricky Rubio was a more or less draft and stash because he was picked and then he was overseas for another year. And it was an interesting thing because everyone thought he was so excited to come over and all that. And then he stayed overseas. So I wish it wasn't draft and stash because it limits the ability of the college guys. And I know it's so weird that the 22-year-old guys are now seen as old men in the draft. And it limits their ability for guys who stayed and graduated, like Yogi, who have like a degree. Yogi,
like Buddy Hield.
Yeah, so they stay and get a degree. And they're punished for it, almost. And not the fact, I mean, Buddy Hield was picked high. But you're telling me that if Buddy Hield just had the year he had, but he was a freshman or sophomore, he wouldn't have been the number one or number two pick.
He would have been three top echelon players.
He would have been up there. But it's his age, even though he's still young.
They've stayed 4 years in college, and they've become fully developed in college.
He's a more mature man coming out. He's going to be more financially sound, and he's going to be more mature in his basketball mind.
Compare Buddy Hield's body figure, his manliness, as far as like build, to a Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Who looked like a stack of twigs walking across the stage with his long, long, skinny legs. Well, or who is the guy who really fell because of that? He was so light. I can't remember.
I'm blanking on it right now as well. But you make a good point, and that's what I'm saying about like the college conditioning too. Is that even in football, like Robert Kimdichie came in as a massive man,
right?
In football, and I know it's different, but bear with me. Is that he came in a massive freshman and left even bigger and stronger and NFL ready. Buddy Hield came in small, skinny, and an 18-year-old kid.
Right.
And he left a 22-year-old fully developed man with a better game, a better shot, and he's physically ready for the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram is not physically ready. Now, Ben Simmons is.
Ben Simmons put on, I don't know if you guys heard this, he put on in between the end of his LSU basketball season, which was March, right?
Yeah, March.
And the draft, he's put on 20 pounds of muscle. And you look at the pictures of him, and you're like, oh.
There's a big difference.
Because, he's not lying.
Well, yeah, there's a big difference because, you know, I'm a big fan of SEC sports in general, mainly football and then basketball. And I've seen him play.
Right.
And I have some thoughts on him. And
well, why don't you share? So you have a platform.
He's a great player. Fantastic talent. But the comparisons to LeBron James need to stop right here.
Well, okay.
They are ridiculous. Yes, he has a similar body type, similar ability to pass, but he's not the physical presence of LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
He did not dominate the SEC. No. He did not. Despite what they'll tell you on ESPN, from someone who watched him, and anyone that watched the SEC could tell you, he was the best player on the floor. But there were games where you had no idea if he was, because he would get his 22 points in the first half and end with 30. Or, you know, he would, essentially he would get his points, get his stats, and then LSU would lose. And when they played Kentucky, he had a great game, but he can't carry the team. And yes, you can't put that all on one guy, but look at Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield was able to basically carry that Oklahoma team throughout the year by himself.
Yeah.
And Simmons is just, I don't want to doubt that he'll make it as a superstar in the league, because he very well could. But I think that he's going to need way more time to develop than people think. people think that he's going to come in and immediately make a huge impact. You know who they also said that about? Jahlil Okafor. You know who they also said that about? Nerlens Noel.
Who else said that about?
Joel Embiid. Every single person. And I hope it doesn't happen to him. But the Sixers keep getting these high picks. And they keep saying, oh, he'll contribute right away.
Right.
And then they don't. Yes, they play. But well, they don't.
Unless you're Joel Embiid.
You can't build a franchise off of these young players without having veterans in place to teach them. Mm-hmm. And they really do not. And that's
where, they definitely don't have any quality veterans.
Yes, and that's where Simmons is going to struggle. Now, Ingram went to the Lakers. I mean,
they have Nick Stauskas in their starting lineup right now. We're just saying.
Well, I mean,
Nick Stauskas is a great role player, but he should not be a starter. No.
Well, they drafted the Luau something.
Yeah, Timotei Luau.
Yeah, and he had some other name, and it was... He's a shooting guard from France, I believe, and he's really tall. Yeah. I think he's like 6'8". But...
And then they drafted Furkan Korkmaz.
Yeah. But I think that the Simmons is going to be good. Ingram needs to develop physically. Mm-hmm. The Lakers need to get him a lifetime membership to Gold's Gym immediately.
Or and whatever. They may be Planet Fitness out there. I don't know their local gym chain.
Well, he certainly won't set off the lunk alarm or whatever it is where you slam the weights down too hard. He's not even going to get it off the bar.
I don't know what that means.
How he made it through a college conditioning thing. Yes, he probably got through conditioning, but you have to lift weights.
Right.
How did he get through that? It's...
Maybe he just does arm days.
I don't even think he did arm days. But, I mean... Now, I am not afraid to admit when I'm wrong.
And we may be wrong on some of these things.
Yeah, and I may be wrong on Simmons. But I don't think he's going to be the superstar right out of the gate like LeBron was. So the comparisons that he'll be able to do that right away are stupid. Because even in the SEC, where I'm not dumb enough to say that everyone there is great. Now, it's physical basketball, but, I mean, Kentucky's the only guys that you're playing multiple NBA talents every week.
Right, right.
So, when you can't beat Kentucky...
unless you're Vanderbilt and have two guys drafted in the first round.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. I'm happy with one of those. But Simmons is a good player. I think he'll do well, but give him time. I think saying he'll dominate right away is naive. And I think that anyone who will put him on the same pedestal as LeBron James... is absurd because LeBron James was a superstar at 16.
Right.
He was nationally and internationally known at 16.
Yeah.
I knew about Ben Simmons in high school, but not in the same way. Like, LeBron is a once-in-a-lifetime player.
So far. Every top prospect, which they have every year, that they've always compared to, he's a LeBron James-type caliber player.
Yeah.
As they move towards the draft, they definitely back off of that. But, you know... when you're in the middle of December, like, this kid is just like, or generally before the basketball season starts and they're going off to college, like, this kid is a LeBron James of this draft class.
Yeah, and it's
nobody
absurd.
Ever pans out like that. Like, I guess the closest we could have had, that I guess we have had recently, would have been Anthony Davis, but he did not have a good year last year.
No.
And the Pelicans were not good at all. They were bad enough to get the sixth pick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying is that Simmons could be that next Anthony Davis. You know, he could be that next big-name player. Mm-hmm. But I hope that he doesn't just conform his game to similar, like LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's ridiculous. Every player needs their own way. What made Anthony Davis so good is that he played his own style.
Right.
You know, what made LeBron so good? He played his own physical style. Mm-hmm. You look at the stars of the league, like Durant plays his own style. And Harden and, you know, Westbrook. I mean,
I hope people don't try to emulate Harden's style.
No. But what I'm saying is the real stars play their own way. They don't try and emulate other people. Now, you can take bits and pieces of other guys and put them together. But you can't just be like, well, they're comparing me to LeBron. I need to play like LeBron. Because you are in Philadelphia... a city that has been needing good players for a while, and they've been getting them year in and year out, and they still can't win.
Right.
So now you've got that on your shoulders because they've compared you to LeBron. So this draft is one of the weaker ones we've seen in a long time.
And what really speaks to that is the amount of international players that were drafted.
Yeah, so many.
Second highest ever.
Yeah.
I saw 15, I think, was the final number.
I think so.
Which is, you know, a lot. 15 out of 60 is no small number. Well, we went through the draft night, and as usually happens, there was a lot of movement.
Yeah.
A lot of movement.
Not as much as big ones, but there was a lot of movement.
Well, there was one big one.
There was one big one.
You get down to the 11th pick. The Magic drafted Domantas Sabonis.
Yes.
The son of a different Sabonis, who is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. But that was actually, he was, I don't know if it was immediate, but later on in the evening, we learned that the Magic were trading him, Domantas Sabonis, Ersan Ilyasova, who's a really good role-playing three-point shooter, and Victor Oladipo, who the side I got this from listed him as a shooting guard, small forward. He's not a small forward.
He's a shooting guard.
He might be able to guard some small forwards, but LeBron likes to plays in the three. He could not guard LeBron. For Serge Ibaka, Serge Ibaka has seen a downtick in blocks the past couple of years, but guess what that coincides with? The emergence of Steven Adams.
Yeah.
When you have a guy like Steven Adams, who is your post presence, who is your shot blocker, why would Serge Ibaka need to come down and do that for him?
Yeah. And it's an interesting trade because
it is a very interesting trade.
Is it immediately frees up cap space to try and give Kevin Durant a larger deal?
Yeah.
And it also adds another weapon. It adds a better shooting guard for Durant if he can. They immediately become a better threat in the West. Because their starting lineup is Westbrook.
Westbrook, a physical specimen.
Yeah, Oladipo.
Victor Oladipo, a physical specimen. Yeah,
assuming Durant comes back, we'll say Durant. And then we go to the power forward
spot. Ersan Ilyasova. Yeah. And Steve, or the guy they drafted.
Yeah, and then you go to the center, it's Steven Adams.
They had... Let me see. They drafted a big guy who's good. Where is he? Who am I looking for? The Thunder.
The Thunder. But basically...
Maybe that guy's a... I can't find it so quickly.
Basically, they've improved by getting rid of Ibaka. And saying that a year ago, you'd have been like, no way.
Right.
But they immediately did... They improved. And they improved in a position they've been needing. We're now, Andre Roberson... Or Robertson no longer is a starter for you or plays significant minutes.
They were ranked last in this past season for points production from the shooting guard position, which is the shooting guard position.
Yeah.
As in, definitively, you're supposed to be shooting the ball.
Well, I mean, when you grow up playing basketball, what's a position that you think scores the most? Shooting guard or small forward?
Right.
So when you get to that point where your shooting guard is the least productive player on your team... You have an issue.
And while their shooting guards, Andre Roberson and Tabas Afolosha, were defensive pluses, they are now bringing in a guy in Victor Oladipo who is a defensive plus and he's an offensive plus.
Yeah.
You can put him in pick and rolls.
It's also a way better situation for him, too, because he was never going to be able to get that national platform in Orlando. And now he goes to a title-contending team where he'll play. So it's huge. It's a great move for him. Great move for the organization. It's a great trade.
I'm surprised they didn't list him as point guard because he did play that some in Orlando. He could run the second unit for the Thunder with Deion Waiters.
Yeah, he's a versatile player who is a hard worker and has great stamina in the game. Yeah. Because with
the amount of pace that the Thunder like to run their offense, as you would expect with Russell Westbrook, with the amount of pace, he does need to be a fit guy. And Victor Oladipo... is very fit.
But yeah, we both agree here that it's a great trade, especially for the Thunder. But the Magic also get a much-needed big man, too.
It's a good deal
for both sides because it immediately brings a, I'm going to say star, because he's a very well-known player.
Mm.
So he'll sell some jerseys down there.
Especially with his,
And he's a physical guy, and they've been looking for a big blocking
Congo.
Yeah.
So they'll definitely get an uptick from Congo jersey sales.
I don't know how many that is.
I don't know how much that is.
I don't know how much it is, but it's still something. Another noticeable trades from the draft. Oh, the Pacers traded away their number 20 pick to the Nets for Thaddeus Young and a future second rounder.
Good.
Pacers,
good trade.
Pacers had another good trade, and that's Pacers have not been very good in the offseason in previous years.
Yeah.
Just the recently previous years.
Yeah.
But last year we had a good pick, and this year we traded a pick we probably didn't really need.
No, and that's why it was a good trade. Right. Is that instead of, and this is what I like, it's a very mature decision by the Pacers front office, mm-hmm. because they're listening to their coach, and they're listening that they want physical yeah. players who are, they may play a little bit of small ball this year. But Thaddeus Young is physical. He's a good player.
Right.
He fits in with the Pacers. Mm-hmm. And then you also went and got...
And then we also got...
Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague. Yeah, so yes, yeah, yeah. That
instead of taking a risk on a guy who's unproven,
mm-hmm.
get two players who are proven.
Pretty young players.
Yeah, I mean, pretty young players who are
both,
proven.
I think they're both sub 30, right?
And even if they're not, it's a mature move because mm-hmm. you're putting pieces around Paul George, which right. you need to have been doing right. for years.
Right.
Instead of just building a squad like they have been, now they're giving what Paul George needs, and they're going to be good next year. They're already good, but they're going to yeah. be even better next year. So it's another good move by the Pacers, who have had a great offseason so far.
Great offseason so far. Just some other trades to talk about. The Kings got Malachi Richardson from the draft, from the Hornets pick. The Hornets got Marco Bellinelli. The Suns got... the Kings' lottery pick, Marquise Chris, and in return they got Bogdan Bogdanovic, who he didn't play a ton this year, I think, for the Kings.
Not a lot.
I don't watch a lot of Kings because they're on the West Coast.
I also their don't games watch a lot of Kings. Just so we're clear,
but he I think he's got some 3-point shooting. They also got Georgios Papagiannis.
Yeah.
From the draft this year, he's from Greece. If you couldn't tell. And Scal Labissiere, who is not French, but he...
Well, but that's an interesting one because Scal Labissiere was
He fell a long way.
But coming into the year, he was considered one of the top three picks in the draft, without a doubt.
Preseason number two.
Yeah, so that just shows the year he had, and that's why you play college ball. Because it shows you, like, if you're an NBA team... It shows you what this guy was able to do despite having hype.
Right.
And that's why it's always fun to see the guys who go to small schools get picked.
Because
you know they weren't recruited highly. Yeah, you know they weren't recruited highly. You know that the big schools were like, hey, he's not good enough. And then he's in the NBA over the guys that the D1 or the bigger school said, well, he's worth it, but he's not. And then the guys that they said not is going to be in the NBA. So it's... It's fun to see that, but Scal Labissiere came in, as you said, the preseason number two prospect for the draft.
I think he was the guy who was too skinny.
He is too skinny.
I think that's the guy I was trying to think about.
I mean, he's a very good ball player, and he could develop well.
Right.
He's got to put
on some weight. That's
where he went to the Suns, yes?
Yeah, he's on the Suns.
Yeah, there's like six Kentucky players on that team now, by the way, on a 15-man roster. So if you don't think John Calipari has any swing there... yeah, there's probably going to be a Suns player there next year as well.
I mean, does he have a summer home in Phoenix? Hopefully not, because it's really hot there.
Yeah, I hope
Hopefully it's
not
like
there.
A winter home. another trade. Boston shed some of their 8 picks. They traded the Grizzlies, Deonta Davis, a second-round pick, and Rade Zagorak.
I like the Deonta Davis pick.
That was a late first rounder, Rade Zagorak.
Yeah, I like the Deonta Davis pick because he fell, but he's a good player.
Yeah,
freshman at Michigan State had a pretty good year. Mm-hmm. Michigan State, yes, that's Deonta Davis.
I'm not sure. I believe off the top of my head.
But he's a good player, and I'm glad he came to the Grizzlies because in the first round we drafted Wade Baldwin IV, point guard from Vanderbilt,
mm-hmm.
and that is a good pick for me because. If Conley leaves, we've got a scoring guard who also is a really good passer.
Right.
But if Conley stays, we've got a really good backup. So the Grizzlies had an okay draft despite Wang Zhu or something like that late in the draft from China.
Both of those guys were second rounders.
Yeah, they were second round picks.
Deonta Davis was the first pick in the second round, and
35, so a couple picks later was Rade Zagorak.
Yeah.
Wasn't your the China guy, what was his name?
Like Wang Zhao or something.
Wang Zhelin.
Wang
Zhelin. Zhelin. I think he had a really fun nickname. Demon King, right?
Wasn't yeah, he
King?
Was the
Demon. No, that was the Rockets guy, the Chu Qi or Qi. I don't, it's Chinese. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce this. Z-H-O-U-Q-I. Those are two names.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Zhou Qi.
Yeah, Zhou Qi.
Yeah, his nickname is Demon King, which is super fun.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't sound that menacing, but it is. Anyways, the Grizzlies traded their 2019 first rounder for both of those guys. The Golden State Warriors picked up Patrick McCall, shooting guard, from the Bucks in the draft for cash considerations. The Pellies got Cheick Diallo from the Clippers for a French guy. David Michino. No.
Yeah.
Michino.
Well, I mean, I think that the draft as a whole went well.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting one because there wasn't really any notable or big name guys who went late. Apart from wow, that was a stutter. Just like you talked about yesterday.
Yep.
Apart from George Niang, who went to the Pacers, who was a very good player this year for Iowa State, mm-hmm. and I think he fits the blue collar mentality the Pacers like.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the draft as always. Lots of good trades.
Yeah.
Free agency does not begin until July 1st, so you'll probably get a lot of news that day. There's already talks out about Joakim Noah getting a max contract from the Knicks. The Warriors being interested in Al Horford, Joakim Noah also, and Hassan Whiteside. Oh, it was the Wizards who were prepared to...
Yeah, the Wizards want Noah on a massive contract.
Massive, max contract.
Yeah.
Absolutely max. The Mavs are trying to get a lot of guys to replace Chandler Parsons because he may not stick around.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me. He's been injured all of them. So those will be finalized, or not maybe finalized, but definitely become more topical as we progress on this next week.
Exactly.
Moving across the pond to France, where we actually had quite a few French draft picks in this draft.
Yeah.
We've still got Euros. We've got Euro knockout stage starting tomorrow.
At 8:30 in the morning.
Nice, nice, bright and early for us. For them, it's like in the middle of the afternoon. They're 5 hours ahead.
Yeah, what is their deal, man?
Yeah.
I mean, do they think about Indiana people? And
no, they don't. They don't care.
They need to think about me, my sleep schedule.
That's selfish. Exactly right.
That's when they organize tournaments, they need to go, is Hunter going to be awake at this moment? And if the answer is no by any of them,
but
cancel this whole thing.
But in French.
Yeah. I'm not going to do a French accent because I'm going to offend people. Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, so if you're offended, please write Xander at...
Write Xander at... Meet me in the middle. Leave us a comment. We'll get back to you.
Sly. Glad to. That was good.
Yeah,
I'm right impressed. In there. Well done.
Really exciting stuff going through the group stages. Group A finished, France on top, then Switzerland. So those two were both through. Albania was in third, but they didn't get... Their goal differential was not good enough to get through to the next round.
Yeah, because the top four third-place teams go through.
Top four third-place teams. Yeah, and their goal differential was not good enough to put them through.
Yeah.
They got bounced in the last set of matches. The Group F matches were very important.
Yeah.
They were simultaneous matches. Hungary versus Portugal and Austria and Iceland. None of those teams had been eliminated at the start of the day, which was crazy. Yeah. Going into the last match, no one had been eliminated yet. They're all still alive. Hungary-Portugal was maybe the game of the tournament so far, just as far as even sides, because they had 4 goals in the span of 25 minutes, spanning the first and second half.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the wrong match is what I was doing. Hunter was watching Hungary-Portugal. I was watching Iceland-Austria. I was watching the wrong match.
You were certainly watching the wrong match. It was a fantastic game.
In
from a neutral's perspective, it was a great match because it was, if I was any of those, like, either of those teams' fans, well, I would have been nervous the whole time because as soon as you thought you had the lead, it's boom, tie it again.
Well, Hungary, I think it would be worse for Portugal fans because they were fighting for their lives in the tournament.
Well, they had to win or draw.
Right, right. They had to win or draw, and they drew.
Yeah, well, Ronaldo's goal was,
his back heel?
Just a little flick.
The little back heel, yeah. That was a very nice goal. The goal of the tournament,
but definitely great as Messi's goal was, because it's one of the best free kicks I've ever seen, right. The cheekiness of his little tap into the goal cannot go underappreciated because it's like, oof. No one saw that coming.
And Iceland got their way through. They beat Austria on a crazy breakaway goal. If you haven't heard, I'm going to shout out another YouTube clip for you guys to look out. I did two, I think, yesterday. Got one today. You've probably heard it, though. It's everywhere. The Icelandic play-by-play guy going absolutely bonkers during their breakaway goal. He's unintelligible. As much as Icelandic is already unintelligible to Americans, that's even more so.
Well, I mean, just the significance of it, because it's, they got their first ever point from a tournament, and then now they're through to the knockouts.
Through to the knockouts in second place above Portugal.
Yeah.
Which is terrible for them. They probably should have drawn that match. Because now they're stuck on the death side of the knockout rounds.
That side of the bracket.
That side of the bracket. What? I think it was 21 major tournament wins I've seen.
Yeah.
21. That's Euros.
That's 8 teams.
Euros and World Cups.
8 different teams do that.
It's, yeah, that side of the bracket is Germany, an incredible squad.
To say the least. Facing, World Cup winning.
Yeah. Facing Slovakia, who's, you know. Then there's Italy and Spain.
Gonna be so good. Oh, so good. What a matchup.
That means that we're probably gonna get Germany versus Italy or Spain in the quarterfinals.
Let me put this into perspective. Italy Spain would be a matchup anyone would want to watch in a World Cup.
Right. Yeah.
And it'd be huge.
Yeah.
And it's in the round of 16.
Then you have the hometown boys, France versus the Republic of Ireland. Let's shout this out right now. The British Isles, all 4 teams advanced.
Yeah.
All 4 teams from the British Isles advanced. So that means they go through. France probably goes through. And then you have England versus Iceland. This is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
If Iceland had drawn their match, they would be over on the other side of this death side of the bracket, facing Croatia as the third place team.
Well, could you imagine Portugal? I mean, let's go through this already. There's Germany.
Germany.
Italy, Spain.
France, England.
And
that's 5 of the top 10.
It's, I don't think they're the all ranked right there, but these are some of the...
I think Italy is a little bit lower right
now. Some of the most historic countries in soccer ever.
Perennial contenders. Yeah. Well, not quadrennial contenders in the World Cup, because it's every 4 years. Let's just go ahead and pick them. Germany, obviously.
I got Germany, yeah.
I think Italy's going to pull it over on Spain.
Spain. They looked really impressive the last 2 matches.
They did, but I think Italy's stalwart defense is going to confound them. France, obviously. They look... As long as they play Dimitri Payet the whole game,
they'll win. They're not. they keep putting him in late and he saves them.
Yeah. Well, he didn't in the last one. They drew the last match.
Last game, his first touch was a volley that hit the bar and almost went in. First touch up volley.
I missed the kickoff, but I watched the first half. I'm like, why is this game going so slowly? Why is...
Because they lacked creativity.
Yeah. They just lacked his
How do you not play the best player in the tournament so far in Payet?
And then England, Iceland.
I want
to say Iceland so bad.
But you know what? I'm gonna say Iceland.
You're gonna say Iceland.
I'm gonna say Iceland in a 2-1 win.
2-1 Iceland win. Wow.
Yeah.
Then the next round would be for me Germany, Ireland, Italy. I think regardless, Germany's gonna go through the quarters.
Yeah, I think Germany's.
I think it's gonna be a Germany France semifinal.
I've got Germany, Iceland.
Germany Iceland
semifinal.
Victim of the moment. Prisoner of the moment. That's what it is.
Well, I didn't pick Leicester, and I could have been a millionaire right now.
Could have been. Could have been. Are you gonna put Iceland in the final?
I am going to put Iceland in the final.
Okay.
Against TBD right now. TBD. You gotta pick the other side. But yeah, Iceland.
Iceland in the final.
I feel like an adopted Icelandic boy, because As well, we also discovered that Xander and I would be the last name as Gregorsson, yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there are no family names in Iceland. Yeah. Everybody takes, unless you're a junior, you take your father's name, if you're a guy, and add son.
So Xander and I would both be Gregorsson.
Or Gregorsson, probably. Yeah.
So
that's fun. That's
fun. So I'm picking them just because I'm like, hey, I didn't pick Leicester. I'm an American, and we always lose. So I'm going to pick Iceland because they're awesome. And their national anthem is the most beautiful song I've ever heard.
Wow. That's really saying something.
It is. If you haven't heard it, don't YouTube it. Just wait and watch them.
Yeah.
Because they all sing, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Other side of the bracket. The easy side. Switzerland versus Hungary. Then you have Croatia and Portugal.
Yep.
Wales and North Ireland, which is super fun. Two British Isles, two of the UK teams going together. And then you have that team.
Hungary and Belgium.
Oh, it's Poland. Switzerland and Poland.
Yeah, Switzerland, Poland.
Poland, and then Hungary and Belgium.
Yes.
Whew.
Get it right, Xander. Know your flags.
I mean, I knew all these in high school.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not in high school, are we?
No, I was really good at those flags in high school. I had flashcards, online flashcards, but that's...
Well, here we are without flashcards, and Xander can't say a normal Poland flag. If you don't know what the Polish flag is, it's two colors.
It's a square, it's a rectangle. It's
white and red.
White over red.
That's it.
Now, the Hungary one is if you took the Italy flag and turned it horizontal.
Different shade of green, man.
Right.
Come on. It's a different shade of green.
This is really hard to tell on this screen right now.
I think you need to get your eyes checked.
I don't need to get my eyes checked.
See, I would pay for it on a business expense, but the problem is
I'm ready to write up business expense if we could start making money.
Pay us money.
I'm going to go Switzerland, Portugal in the quarter, and Wales, Northern Ireland. Wales, Belgium.
Oh, well, then I will pick Poland. Poland's good.
Poland's good, but it is Switzerland's pretty good.
Shaka? They can't even keep jerseys on their backs.
Okay, that was funny.
Yeah, they keep ripping.
They were getting ripped all over the place.
And then I think I'm going to go Croatia.
And then you're going to go Northern Ireland Belgium.
I'm going to pick Wales and Belgium.
Belgium. And then semifinals, I'm going to go Switzerland and Belgium. Belgium final. Belgium-Germany final for me.
I'm going just Croatia v. Belgium, and then I'm saying...
Croatia v. Belgium.
And then Belgium v. Iceland.
Belgium for the v. title. Iceland.
And then
Iceland.
We all know what's going to happen here, and that's right. Iceland's going to lift the trophy.
That's right.
And they're going to carry it back by boat. By boat back to Iceland, and they're going to party forever.
And then they're going to burn the boat like a Viking funeral.
Yeah.
Not with anything on it, just like they're just going to burn the boat.
I mean... You have to.
You gotta.
At that point, you have to, because when it's gone down on record, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's on record. It's on tape. It's actually not on tape. It's on digital. But whatever. It should be a good bout of matches. They start tomorrow, like we said, at 8 a.m.
And you know I'm going to be watching, because what else am I going to do on Saturday? Sleep?
No, I wouldn't.
I would. I mean, sleep sounds really good.
Sleep does sound good.
Problem is that we're working. We're working hard.
That's right, working hard. I'm actually working up a sweat, but that's just because the room's hot.
Well, I tried to make it cool. Let's just say I turned the fan on.
Hey, we're turned off the fan so you guys would be able to hear us more clearly.
Well, I know that's a bad thing to do because you guys are probably like, ugh, they're more clear now.
Give us some white noise to drown out their incessant chatter.
Well, what you could do is listen to our theme song and, you know, our intro and outro.
Yes. It's Joseph K. by Hale's Corner off of their debut album, Garden View, which is available on iTunes and Bandcamp, and you can stream it on Spotify.
And it's a fantastic track.
Fantastic.
The whole album's good.
I don't know why we're acting like we're wrapping this up. We still have more to talk about because after those matches, we're back to a full day of soccer. Third place game, United States versus
Colombia.
Yes, Colombia. Rematch of the first match.
We're going to lose. Okay, I'm sorry. There's a little bit of hope because Jurgen said Tim Howard starting.
That's right. And what did I say? If we had put Tim Howard in goal for the Argentina match, we would have won.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why we're going to lose. Our country starts with a U and then an S and then an A. United States of America.
Oh, and that's why we're going to lose.
And we're going to lose because of that.
Because we're the United States of America.
Because we're the United States of America.
Right.
You know, when people are like, oh, we should be winning this. Yeah, okay. Because we don't have 80 sports here that everyone plays.
Right.
And like in Colombia, do you think they grow up playing basketball or football? No, they play. Or all they three. They play football, but not American football.
Right.
So, and they have James Rodriguez, and he's not bad.
Yeah.
Because he was a Golden Boot winner of the World Cup. And they already beat us 2-0. And then Michael Bradley was basically like, I don't know what place these have in tournaments. Like, if he plays, we're going to get slaughtered. Not just beat, slaughtered.
Wow, really?
Hopefully not like Mexico did, 7-0. But I'm predicting a 3-0 USA loss.
Right. Well, that's not good. Hopefully the game the next day will be better.
It better be.
It should be. I mean, Chile versus Argentina.
It's not only a rematch of their first game. It's the rematch of last year's Copa America, right, where Chile won on penalties.
Right. And Argentina is looking for their first major tournament win in, what, 20?
Forever.
20-plus years,
yeah,
which is insane for
a team. Diego Maradona said, don't come back if you lose. And I mean, because Diego Maradona has every say upon them coming back to the country.
Because according to Maradona, Messi isn't the type of player to lead a team.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Absolutely not.
He's so overrated, yeah. I've never seen anyone that bad in my life.
Messi's
get over yourself, Maradona. He's better.
Yeah, better than you. He can score without using his hands.
Hey.
Boom.
Hey, it was never...
Boom.
It was never proven.
It was proven. It wasn't proven until you watch the video and watch him punch the ball into the goal.
What?
I don't know why I'm so angry about this. I'm not. It happened well before I was born.
It doesn't even matter to me. It's just a cool thing that he got away with a very blatant handball.
Very blatant. Ha-cha! That was me pantomiming the punch.
You should have seen it. It was awful.
Yeah, it was.
Not the goal, but what Xander did.
Also because it sounded like the Arrested Development chicken sound for... Ooh, I can't remember which character. But no one cares.
Bingo.
A little bit more of news before we check out. Apparently Las Vegas is the place to be for sports teams.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody's trying to go there.
Here's my issue with it. Just a couple of years ago, everyone was like, sports betting's the worst. Everyone hates sports betting. Now let's put teams there so they can bet on sports more.
Right. Let's while currently FanDuel and the other one, DraftKings, are both still under, I think, investigation for their business practices. They're still banned from New York. I know that.
Yeah.
They're actually pursuing a merger. I don't know why you guys are learning all this business news in a sports podcast, but it's possibly happening because they offer literally the same product and they're tired of competing with each other.
Yeah.
While they're still doing that and the sports things are the sports things. The sports leagues are combating them. The NHL has approved an expansion.
Yeah, the 31st team will be there.
The 31st team will be in Las Vegas, you know, where there's ice year-round.
Yeah. Well, there is. It's just going to be in a dome.
Oh.
Yeah, they're going to play inside. Right. That's the thing.
Oh, there's no Winter Classic for Las Vegas?
I really hope there is, because that'd be great.
That would be great.
Just watch the ice melt, and it turns into like a water polo match.
It turns into a field hockey match. I've watched those. That's one of those Olympic things that's on at 2 a.m. It's actually not very
good. That and handball, but handball's so worth it.
Handball is worth it.
If you watch handball at the Olympics, we could be best friends, because it's great.
I think Mimi in the Middle retweeted a very fun video that included a lot of fun handball goals.
Yeah.
This guy did a 360 behind the back to totally chump some goalkeeper. It was spectacular.
I mean, we want to talk best athletes in the world. Why are we ignoring them?
Why are we ignoring handballers?
Why is there not a professional American handball league?
Because that's the 30th.
That's every PE star's dream.
But that's the 30th sport that we'd have to care about.
Well, yeah, we'd have to.
Anyways, back to Las Vegas. The NHL is already moving there. The MLB has expressed interest in a team there.
And then the NFL is all but moving there
The Oakland Raiders are like, yeah, we're already in contact. They're already discussing. Las Vegas is working on a package to find a way to fund a stadium for the Raiders in Las Vegas. So they're really trying to move there.
Well, the Raiders said, the owner said, if we get fully approved, we will be the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right, yeah.
So it's happening. It's just really a matter of time in my mind.
And the NBA is not really looking to add teams right now. That's at least what Adam Silver said. He said 30 feels like a good number. But they would have to add two, of course.
Yeah.
And actually, we worked on this.
We said if they added one out there, they'd also add the Sonics.
The Las Vegas, whatever they would call themselves, and then the Seattle Supersonics.
And then you just move Memphis into the East because right. They're already way over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand. While I love that the Grizzlies get that experience in the West, why are they in the West? They're about even with Indianapolis if you look straight down. And Indy's in the East.
Yeah, they're about even with Chicago.
They're Chicago's really about East. Even with
Chicago. Yeah, Chicago.
I don't understand it.
They're definitely at least as east or more east than the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah,
they're over here.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So, I mean, but that's different because of they were Vancouver, and at the time there wasn't expansion, so they just said, "Hey, stay in the conference." If they add two teams, just move them over.
Right.
Because it's easy logistically. No one's going to care.
They could do that or New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, either way, just move someone over.
But they aren't looking to do that right now. They aren't looking to go to 32 teams.
Yeah, not even yet.
Even though 16 make the playoffs and 14 don't.
Yeah.
But 30 is a good number. Why not? Probably something to do with the TV deal. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the end, it all boils down to right now there's just NHL, and probably there will be more teams there soon, just like how there may be more Los Angeles teams before too long. After the Rams moved there, the Chargers are trying to move there still. No, wait, did they get approved?
Well, they're staying in San Diego this year. And I think they're moving their stadium, next year. Right? Yeah. They're going to have a joint stadium, am I right?
I think that's right.
Yeah, which will be weird, but you know, they share the Staples Center.
Yeah, they share the Staples Center pretty easily.
Yeah.
So I guess, well, it's a three-way share, right? Because the LA Kings play in the Staples Center.
Yeah, what? Okay. Just, LA, stop. Stop taking teams from everyone.
We get it that you're shoved up against the ocean and range of mountains, but would you really need that much? Do you need everything?
Give the Rams back. St. Louis only has the Cardinals and the Blues. Both the hockey team and their feelings.
Right.
And the Blues.
Womp womp.
Yeah, womp.
That's too bad. Anyways, I guess we're done for today. That's everything we needed to cover.
I know I'm done.
Yeah, you were done a long time ago. I can tell.
You cut me off, yeah.
I didn't cut you off.
Well, I cut myself off.
Yeah, you did.
Probably for the best.
We are on iTunes, Meet Me in the Middle. We are on Stitcher, Meet Me in the Middle. We are on TuneIn.
LinkedIn.
We are not on LinkedIn. That's a callback, everybody. We're on Twitter @meetme_middle. We're on Facebook. All you gotta do is search Meet Me in the Middle. I think you can get a trend here. Our website is meetmeinthemiddle.co. It's like this is a whole thing or something. Send us a comment. We'll respond. I promise.
One of us will respond, the other will say, yeah, that looks good.
As in, I'll probably respond and he'll never see it. Cause that's
how I'll see it. I'll just say, hey, that's great. Yeah, I appreciate your feedback, madam.
Except for they have to preface it with a diss towards you.
Which is so fun.
So much fun.
Just join the party. Everyone's dissing me lately, man.
Everybody. Oh, Pylon Hunter. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha. Shade. Shade thrown.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I don't like throwing shade. We're really it's not shade.
It's over. Stop.
No.
No, yes, this episode is over. Episode 11, done.